got three daughters here, and every time I look at them when they're worshiping or just doing anything unto the Lord, I cry. I just cry. I'm so grateful. So this has been a really crazy week at my house, and I think it's been a really crazy week for a lot of people, especially the leadership that was getting this together, and probably y'all too. Probably a lot of warfare getting here. There was a lot of warfare around my house. It's just a really difficult week, and that's why, because God's raising up a generation of mighty young people, and you guys were coming here to hear about the most important thing that there is on the face of this earth, and that's the love of God. There's nothing more important. There's nothing in your life, not your children, not your jobs, not your finances. There's not a relationship in your life. There's not anything in your life that's more important than the love of God. And so none of us had talked about what we were going to talk about, and we're all talking about the same thing, okay? We're leaving the actual learning about in Christ to Bishop. The rest of us are talking about what it means to know the love of God and how to come to know the love of God, which is kind of what I'm going to talk about. It's funny that she said about tenacity, because that's kind of something that you have to have when you're seeking the Lord. Tenacity. You have to have this just passion in your soul that goes, I'm going after him, and I'm going to find him, and I'm not going to let anything get in my way. I grew up in a charismatic world, but I didn't really understand all that. But I did know, I went to all these conferences where I'd see people falling out in the spirit and talking in tongues and just all these different things that you do in charismatic settings. And I would go down over and over and over again to get prayed for, and nothing. Y'all, I never fell out. I never got the gift of tongues. And so kind of what I got out of that as I was growing up is that I wasn't good enough, and that God really didn't love me. Now, if I start crying, y'all, it's not because I don't know God loves me now, because y'all, I do. I mean, I have a revelation of it. I haven't begun to scratch the surface, okay? It's just a tiny revelation, okay, compared to what there is to get from him. But I grew up kind of thinking that that was just really something only for special people. You know, you got that touch from God, and you got that to meet him in a personal way if you were a special person. Well, when I started coming here back in God knows when, I would come and I would sit under Bishop's teaching, and I remember thinking, God sent me here to set them right. There were some things that I just thought they needed to hear from me because I didn't agree with some things. But as I stayed with it, and God began to move on me, and I just began to learn about my identity in Christ, okay? And in the process of learning this, I still had this place in me that was really, really just like a dark place that just didn't believe. Like, I knew right here that God loved me. I knew right here that I was in Christ. I knew right here that I was forgiven. But y'all, there was something in my heart that didn't click with that. There was something in my heart that didn't go, but I know that God loves me. I was talking to my husband recently, and I was saying, we put out this little devotional thing on our website, and I was telling him I want to write this thing because I've just had the love of God. It just hasn't been able to leave my mind. And I was telling him, I said, you know, if you people kick around the phrase, the love of God, oh, God loves me, the love of God. But if it doesn't radically wreck your world and change your world and make you want to love him back, then you've not really encountered the real presence of Christ. Because the real presence of Christ will rock your world. In his presence, that's where you find that place in you where you start wanting to, because you want him so bad, you taste and see that he's good, you want him so bad, that's where you start being willing to lay everything down. That's where you start going, Lord, look, all I have is yours, and I will go anywhere and do anything. It's his presence, because it's not something we learn, it's something we experience. It's real. It's other than us. Have you ever noticed that? If I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced this, but you have all these horrible thoughts going through your head, rejection thoughts, and or any kind of condemnation, or just angry at something you're going through, you know? And you ever notice that all the fearful thoughts and all that, just a tiny glance where you connect with him, all that stops, immediately stops. And the only thing you become aware of is him, his presence. As Sam was saying earlier, the first and foremost thing, y'all, the first and foremost thing in our lives is to know God and to be known by him and to know who you are in him. And in that love, y'all, out of that love, when you come connect with that love, out of that love flows everything. Your relationships, your destiny, what you're going to do in life, where you're going to, I mean, every detail flows out of that love. Where you're going to go to school, how you're going to parent your children, everything flows out of the love of God. Now, do we walk in that? Mm-mm. But we should. That's our goal, Lord. That's our pursuit. Our pursuit is to get into the presence of God and stay there and live out of him. So when I was about 23, after having been going to church here for about 4 years at the time, I had just seen these people around me, just some really good friends that to this day I still know, said, you know, talked about God loving them, and they really, 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 I knew that God loved them. And I would get with the Lord, okay, and I would say, Jesus, I don't really know that you love me. I don't know it here. I mean, I know, I believe you love me because I was taught it my whole life, but I don't know it, that place where it gives me, that just wrecks my world. That causes me to be secure and causes me not to be walking in all this, in rejection and all this kind of stuff. And so I was, I got hot and heavy on that pursuit, y'all. I was like the woman who goes to the, who's throwing the rocks at the, now I'm going to use some scripture, and mind you, it'll sound familiar to you, but it'll have my twist with it, okay? So I'm like the woman who goes to the judge's window, and she's throwing the rocks, or her friend, whatever it was, she's throwing the rocks at his window, and she's going, get out of bed, I need something, and he's going, no, I'm not going to do that. And then finally, he's like, good Lord, I'm going to do it just because I want to shut her up. And so he goes, and he meets her need. The guy gets up and meets her need. I'm like that with God. I'm like, okay, I was told that I could know you love me, and I was told that I could experience it in my emotions, and I want that. And man, I started it. I started that pursuit, y'all. I mean, I must have told him that a million times a day. I sat down every day to spend time with him. I don't know how many times, and I meant I was going to find it out. And I can tell you, to the moment when that revelation hit me, I can still see it. I know what I was doing, where I was sitting, everything. I'm sitting there, and I was reading a book called Pursuit of God. A.W. Tozer, great book. And all of a sudden, I was just looked up, and it happened. And I had this revelation that came on like a light, and all of a sudden, I had a foundation. I knew that I knew in my soul that God loved me. From that moment on, I've never been the same, okay? That revelation, well, that for me started an even heavier pursuit because I wanted more. That was not enough. I wanted it, and I'm still after it until that perfect love is so real in my life that it's cast out every single fear I have. I'm on that pursuit. It's the one thing in our lives, y'all. It's the one thing we can afford to chase him with all of our hearts. We can afford to leave everything else behind because he will meet us and he'll take care of the rest. It's a promise from him. Two promises right there. He will meet us. He said, if you'll seek me with your whole heart, I will meet you. You will find me. In Hebrews it says, and this was one of the verses I clung to, it said, those who come to him must believe that he's God, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Man, I set my face like flint. I wanted to know the Lord, and I wanted a revelation of his love because I was tired of living in so much fear. When I got that revelation, the fear, the level of fear that I dealt with at that time subsided. Y'all, I deal with the worst fear. You know, some people are afraid of snakes, spiders. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of the boogeyman, whatever it is. I, to me, feel like I deal with the worst fear that there is, fear of man. It is the worst fear. It will dictate everything you do. It will stop the anointing. It will stop you from operating in the anointing. I feel like in my life, so anything, any victory that I have, I feel like is a huge victory because that is such a strong fear in my life. And God slowly but surely has been putting that to death over the years. We're not there yet, but we are headed in that direction. Much more further along than we were years ago, okay? So the other thing about in our pursuit to the Lord is something we hear is that in his presence is fullness of joy. And as his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In his presence, your soul is satisfied. Your soul's needs are met. And when you are living in his joy, this is why scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because when you're living in his, and you're living with a consciousness of his presence, your eyes aren't on you, they're on him. And because they're on him, you're not thinking about what you can't do, you're thinking about what you can do. You're not thinking about what you can do, you're thinking about what he can do. And his presence just makes you know in one small tiny second that you're the one he wants to do it through. You're the one he's going to come through for. Just a tiny little glimpse. Still love my notes. It's ripped in half, taped together. So in this pursuit of the Lord, something I learned too is that it's a daily thing. And if it's not, if you don't daily, you at least, it's got to be very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's got to happen regularly. You've got to get in his presence regularly. You know, I think about this. When Moses came down off the mountain, after he was out of God's presence for a while, the glory that he was wearing faded, okay? And it's the same with us, y'all. We're at war, okay? There's a real enemy out there who knows our names. I'm talking, there's not a person in here that he doesn't know your name. He knows how you tick. He knows what to whisper to you. He knows what to do to throw in your path to cause you to stumble. He knows who you are. That's the thing about staying in the presence of God, because God's presence is a shield about you. But we are in war, okay? And if you don't daily get in God's presence and get your mind, see, because even your thoughts are getting thrown towards you. The enemy is actively throwing thoughts at you. So your thoughts will become the enemy's thoughts if you're not living in the by the word of God. Now, I'm not talking about picking up a scripture. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about, hey, I'm stopping what I'm doing, and I'm making time for Jesus until I am in his presence, until, like that song, all I want is just to know your heart and keep me here until you and I are one. And that's not something that you do and then you walk away and that's just that. It's something that happens every single time you pursue him. And this war that you're in with the enemy, I want to point this out too. It's real important that you understand how dangerous little thoughts are. You know, we all know the scripture, the little foxes ruin the vineyard. And those little foxes, y'all, are just that. They're tiny little foxes, little thoughts with a ravenous appetite that will never be satisfied until it takes you completely down. And the whole goal of the little fox is to just get in there and deceive you and just, this one little thought won't matter. Oh, like I'm dealing with something right now, okay? In my life right now, I'm dealing with something that causes me a lot of stress, okay? And I realized today, the Lord just kind of started speaking to me, and he said, you know, I'm dealing with your selfishness. And I was like, really? I just don't think of myself as being real selfish, but the Lord just really opened my eyes to that today, that he's just dealing with my selfishness. I can't afford to hold on to that, y'all. I cannot afford to let the enemy move me off my stance, okay? And if I keep giving into that, I will start to see the effects of the little foxes ruining my vineyard. I've already seen it. I've spent 3 days being miserable, okay? And finally, today the Lord goes, it's because you keep trying to get okay instead of letting me make you okay. I was like, oh yeah, okay. So against what I'm even preaching on here, y'all, I wasn't doing that. I was just the enemy, little foxes. But it came. But they started as little foxes, and part one of those little foxes was, well, you know, it's they kind of deserve that, or you know, I tried to warn them, you know, that kind of thing. And but the Lord really, he got my heart. He captivated my heart again this morning, and so my husband will be really glad I'm starting to repent of that. Anyway, so in his presence, y'all, is where we fight our battles. In his presence is where we learn who we are. In his presence is where we just become totally secure. It's just where everything, the issues of life, flow from that place. Okay? When you're standing in his presence, you're invincible. You're just invincible. Because his presence is a shield about you. Okay? Coming to these conferences, I've seen, you know, having three teenage daughters and having been a teenager, I've seen a lot of kids go to a concert, conference, and they get really excited, and they really encounter the Lord, and they are ready, man. Jesus, you are Lord. You are, you're it for me. They go home, and then the joy kind of, the glory kind of starts fading. And then they're like, what do I do? Where do I go from here? And so I just want to share my experience as far as just my pursuit of him. Okay, to your pursuit, does everybody know what I'm talking about pursuit of God, about pursuing the Lord? That means that you're, in your mind, you're making a choice, Lord, whatever I do, everything I do from here on out, everything I do is all about trying to find your presence, trying to find you. Just trying to find who I am in you. So, and we're in, all right, so when you're born again, you're in Christ, we got that. But then there's having the relationship with Jesus, okay? That you grow in the understanding of who you are in Christ and that you are in Christ, okay? So, the first thing I would say, if you don't know what to do when you go home, how to cultivate your relationship with Jesus, because that's what this life is all about, y'all. It's all about cultivating, it's all about relationship with Jesus, okay? First thing I could say is quiet time. That's where you take some space and you give God a little time and space and you give him all your attention. I know more people that say they do all their praying while they're driving to work. You cannot commune with God you can't find a deeper level of intimacy with God just only praying driving to work. I pray driving to work, and I do commune with the Lord doing that, but usually that flows out of, I've already gotten into the presence of God, okay? It's very hard to divide your attention between things around you and give him your total attention at the same time. So what I do is I just take time. I shut out all the voices. I turn on my worship music, and y'all, I spend time worshiping. I just spend time worshiping. Because worship, God, we know God loves to be worshiped. And it's the fastest way to encounter the presence of God is when you're worshiping him. I once heard somebody say, it's a lot easier to get into God's presence worshiping than it is to try to pray into his presence. And it's right. Because when you pray, you're generally talking about yourself. You're generally talking about the things you're dealing with. You're not stopping and getting your focus completely on Jesus. You're not stopping and you're not hearing. In worship, you're reminded of who he is. In worship, you're reminded of who you are. And so just praying alone, trying to get into his presence, generally, you're still thinking about all the things that you are struggling with. Instead, when you just stop and go, I don't have to say all this to you because, God, you already know it. I can stop. I can give myself to you, Lord, and I'm just going to worship. And as I worship you, God, I mean, y'all, I can't tell you the times in worship that the darkness broke, that the yoke broke, and just peace would flow over me. Joy would start coming into my heart, and I would just rise up, like, just come out of that, just a new person, just ready, you know, victorious. And so in worship, I'll make sure I don't leave anything out. In worship, your mind is just transformed. Your mind in worship is transformed. you leave this earth and you go into another realm and you find him. You find his face. His face. I love to say that. I love his face. Okay? I love just the where worship takes you to emotionally. And I got to tell you, this is where tenacity comes in. Sometimes it doesn't happen on the first song. Sometimes it doesn't happen on the second song. Sometimes you have to go, you know what, God? I need you. I want you. And I'm going to stay here until I find you. And it may take several songs, but eventually you're going to break into the presence of God. It's a promise. Y'all, it's a promise. It is not like if you seek me with your whole heart for the next 10 years, I'm going to eventually reveal myself to you. No. If you seek him with your whole heart at any given moment, you're going to break through and find him. You will find him. And the other thing is, the enemy, he worked so hard to take us off our victory stance. That's what nervousness before you speak is. The enemy is just trying to get you off your victory stance where you know that your Father's going to be faithful to you and come through for you. Nervousness is just that warfare. It is warfare and fear of man, and unfortunately, I've known it well. So in worship, you get your victory stance back. You get your minds transformed. You become, okay? The other thing is scripture. Scripture is so important, y'all, okay? I have my scripture out while I worship a lot of times. And almost always the Lord, I just will flip open to something and it'll be what I need to hear, okay? Almost always. But sometimes that's not the case. The Lord might lead you to like just read certain scriptures so you're learning. Scripture helps you to learn to hear God's voice. There are choices that you have to make, especially as young people, as far as like you're just coming, you're growing and you're learning and you're learning about life and you have a lot of choices and you have directions to choose and you have to know what the right direction is to choose. And scripture really is a light unto your path. It really does lay out your path for you. If I go to, if I have to make a decision whether or not I'm going to, just as a young person, I'm going to use some examples. These examples were real to me. I mean, hallelujah, God saved me. It was rough when I was young. But if you go to make a choice, I'm going to go to this party, these people are going to be drinking, you already know because of what Scripture says to you the what to do. Number one, obey your parents. Would your parents want you to do that? And if they would, and you're trying to pursue the Lord, then number two, what does Scripture say about going and hanging out in those kind of situations, doing those kind of things? Scripture helps you to hear God's voice. It helps you to just hear him. That's what I can say. It's so, Scripture is so important. And then God speaks to us through Scripture. And a lot of times, the words that you get, the personal word that you get from God, it's going to come out of Scripture. I mean, you might get some prophetic words, but you're going to get personal words. And those words are a foundation for your feet. You can stand on those words because just as sure as anything you can see, anything in the natural, you know that that word that was spoken to you is a sure thing. You can rely on it. You can stand on it. You can count on it. You can bank on it. It's going to happen. God's going to do what he says he's going to do. When he tells me that he, when I look in Scripture and I see, when he starts telling me how much he loves me in Scripture, when he starts telling me that his faithfulness surrounds me as a shield, y'all, you know how many times I have clung to that Scripture in and of itself, that he surrounds me, his faithfulness surrounds me like a shield? I mean, it's unbelievable. And then prayer. Prayer is really important. We pray for other people. It's really good to get our eyes off ourselves and to pray for other people. I got to be honest, up until recently, most of my prayer life was really all about me, okay? It was all about confessing to the Lord and crying out for more, and that's that thing I do where I just keep tossing the rock at the window till I get his attention. Hey, this is what's wrong with me. Fix it, you know, and I'll do that over and over again until he starts fixing it. One of my favorite scriptures in Job, it says, it is God that removes the mountains, and we know not how. That's my favorite scripture. It's supernatural, y'all. When you go to God, you don't get to know how. You just get to know that he's going to do it. And when you go in faith and you step into his presence, you go in faith, you're just here, Lord, here I am. I'm going to worship. I'm going to look in my Bible, and I'm just coming by faith. He's going to meet you. It's supernatural. It's other than us. Amen? Well, that's my pursuit of God. And I can honestly say that he's never failed me, not one time. He's never failed to take me out of the dark spots that I can get into and light my path. Never failed me, not one time. And so I can truly say that God will not fail any of us. Will not fail. So I want to say a quick prayer. I want to say a prayer too. I'm just going to pray for tenacity to fall, and for just the desire, just a one thing desire. The only thing you want in this world is God. I promise you, that's your one thing. Everything else will go well with you. Everything else. So you don't have to stand up. You don't have to raise your hand. But I'm just going to pray for you, okay? So Lord, I do pray right now, Father, that if I've been able to say anything, Lord, that I've been able to express your heart of how you will meet them and that you will always be faithful, God. And Lord, I just pray right now that if there's any place where people are walking in any kind of unbelief and fear that they can't step into your presence, Lord, I just in Jesus' name take authority over it, and I just command all voices to stop. I just command all voices to stop. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would just impart into every person here, including myself, even more intense tenacity to search for you with all their hearts, with all of our hearts, God. That you become the one thing, the one passion in our life to know you and to know who we are in Christ. And I just thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.